Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. This winter, Strategic Farm Marketing is holding risk management seminars near you. A complete list of meeting dates and locations can be found at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the January 25 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Merrill Crowley. He's from Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois. From Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Kirk Kimmel is here. And Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. On this Thursday, we have had more than a week of closes in the soybeans higher, I think every day, in fact, since the USDA report came out. And I don't know what will have happened on Friday, but that's really quite impressive given the bearish numbers that were in the report. Wayne Nelson.
Well, yes. And if you look at it, we did make a key reversal down there. We made a new low. We come back and closed higher on the day. And we have moved up every day since. And that does look like we should see some good reaction. You know, a lot of this is happening because of the dollar going down so hard. We're under 89 cents dollars now. That is one thing that has really come back in. And also, we're seeing some weather problems in Argentina. But depending on the weather forecast you're looking at, whether it's the American model, European model, or whatever, one's got a little more rain and one's got a little less rain. You know, that's one of the things that's happening. But the bean market got to a bottom, and it's starting to retrace.
Of course, the dollar part of that, as it had plummeted for a while. However, on Thursday afternoon, the President of the United States, in opposition to actually his secretary, Secretary Mnuchin, said, hey, we want not a dollar that's weakening, but we want it stronger, a strong dollar. And the dollar actually turned around and rallied a little bit on Mr. Trump's comments.
Oh, boy, we saw a big reversal. You know, like Wayne said, the dollar made some new lows in through here. It got beat up over 300 points for the week. Then we're able to reverse her back up. But not only the dollar itself, but the metals kind of fell. Other markets took note of the situation. The energy's kind of fluttered a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see how we come in here next week and see if this trend continues or not. But, you know, the dollar's kind of a conversational symbol to talk about overall. We just need to overall probably monitor the South American weather. That's going to be the trump card as we move forward here.
Oh, nice thought, the trump card. I appreciate that. So South American weather has been on again, off again, mostly in Argentina. It's been off. However, we hear sometimes now that, well, it's been wet, it's been dry. We're not quite sure where it is.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, but we're not quite sure where it's at. Every picture I see coming across the Twitter feeds, crop looks great. But we are being told that they're seeing some dry issues in South America, especially Argentina. That could get up to as much as 50% in the first week of February if we stay dry. You have some dry areas in the northern Brazil, which are now slated to see heavy rains as that ridge sets up over Argentina. It's going to push rains over the north and start flooding those areas with more rain than they want. In either case, with Brazil, you're starting to see the soybean crop slowly coming out instead of quickly coming out. And it's not a bad crop. It's a good crop. The other side of the coin is as you push that crop back on the harvest, you endanger the corn crop that follows it. So, you know, we could be setting up the corn crop for something big that we don't see yet. South America, you've got Argentina, they're dropping yield, they're dropping production down. But last year we dropped down to 50 million metric ton on the beans, mid-30s for the corn, and ended up at 57.8 and 41 for the corn. Plus, they got a carry-in of 5.8 versus 1.5 last year and 17.3 versus 12.5 the previous year for corn.
Merrill Crowley, of course, is with Midwest Market Solutions. Let's do a couple of numbers that were released this week, other ones beyond those that you just gave to us. Informa dropped out its acreage figures. What do you think of those two as it relates to the marketplace?
You know, I saw the Informa numbers, and I didn't see a whole lot of difference. Farm Futures had a survey that they did, and those were in line. And at this point in the year, I don't know that you get too, you know, all riled up with the numbers coming out yet. The difference I saw was the Farm Futures was actually a survey. Now, the interesting thing I saw come out of it was their talk about their wheat acres, their cotton acres. And when you put them all together, you're talking about expanding acres of cotton, barley, sorghum by maybe 1.2 to 2.4 million acres. Now, if that comes out of corn, you could see it cause the corn decline 500,000 and beans maybe, 500,000 decline in beans and possibly a 1 to 1.5 million decline in corn. Currently, if you're looking at 90 million bushel of corn or 89 million bushel of corn, you have to have 175 bushel yield to equal the usage we're doing right now. So it varies from there. You can kind of figure in your... Now, on the beans, if you raise 91 million bushels of soybeans, you need a yield of 46.7 in order to equal the production or this year's use.
So that brings me, Wayne Nelson, to something that Todd Hubbs referred to with me, and I don't think he did this on the air, but if you take the numbers, and I frankly don't know whether this is the USDA's numbers from back in November, the pre-farm report numbers, that's coming out next month, with average national yields or an average crop for the United States this coming year, and the projection, they were at what about 91, I think, or 90.5 or something like that for each. That you take the 18-19 ending stocks for corn down below 2 billion bushels. And I guess I don't want to start to think really whether you can build a more friendly picture for the corn market out of this, because we still have a 2.5 billion bushel or 2.4 something billion bushel crop carry out at the moment. It's just awfully big, but the numbers begin to swing.
Well, if we can get it below the 2 billion bushel carryout, it's sure not more bearish, that's for sure. And that is the point that we feel we have to get below to start making things work a little bit. You know, the next trick is, can we stay friendly with China? Are they going to need to import some corn for their ethanol plants to try to lower their pollution, things like that? What sort of production is Russia going to have? South Africa's having some weather problems. I mean, that's one of the things that helped pop the corn a little bit here on Thursday. It was South Africa's weather problems. So, you know, those, even if they are small, if we can get some of our competitors to actually step back a little bit, and maybe we can take over a little bit more. You know, one of the things that's hurting us this year really is that Brazil has taken over. They're the number one importer of beans into China, and we dropped down to number two.
Yeah, when you start to look forward through here, I imagine right now you got to go with the outlook numbers, maybe acres unchanged. But 1 million, 2 million acres is the issue. It's the yield you put on it. That moves the bottom line more than anything. As Wayne told us a long time ago, La Nina's a factor. It's a factor in the southern hemisphere. It's going to be a factor here in the U.S. The Farmer's Almanac told us that clear back in last September. So there's a lot of moving parts in through here. But overall, ethanol usage is going to be much better than expected. We got a cattle and feed report here on Friday. It's going to show some big numbers, and we're eating through this, but the key is going to be weather from here on out.
So the key is weather. However, farmers have a crop to sell, actually two crops to sell at this point, and it's a lot of it in the bin for corn. It's a big crop. We've got a better price for soybeans than we've had since December the 5th. The corn doesn't seem to be too terribly bad. Farmers are beginning to feel friendly to the market. That might hold them back. What's your best piece of advice for them?
Well, I think the old advice would be reward the market as we go. I think as a producer, you got to manage risk and continue to make timely and profitable cash sales as we move along through here. I like moving the cash grain. I think if you hold on the cash grain, you're going to have hang on it till July to see if there's a major weather event. We like moving the cash grain, replacing ownership on paper. That way you've got the flexibility to make your cash flow work for you. Hanging on to the cash grain, I think you're going to run into risk of being with everybody else at the last minute here as we move through the growing season if the weather is favorable.
So, Wayne, on the cash side, I have a different sort of question, because I look at the cash price for the soybeans and I'm thinking, you know, my basis level is really wide. That's pretty predominant across parts of the Midwest. However, the cash price might be someplace that I'm thinking I could make some final sales, some catch-up sales, and be all right at this point. Is there a reason to leave that open?
Well, I think that you said the right thing. As we look, I know that John called the elevator today, and they're like 54 under for, you know, crop beans. That you know, we were thinking we're seeing $10 plus new crop beans, but then you take 54 off and we only got 950 beans. That's hard. I think at this point in time, you do some hedging rather than cash sales, because I think there's going to be some spots if we can see some problems and don't see things come in here. I think that along the way, you know, as we were in the ADM conference down in Clearwater, Dan Bassey said, we need a swan, whether it's black, whether it's white, whatever it is. And to see this market really move. And we're starting to see a little bit of a white swan with the dollar dropping down and helping us move up the cash price. Now, if that dollar strengthens and comes back on in, the board is going to go down, and we're going to see the basis come in a little bit to try to keep the cash price strong like that. So I'm going to say recommend hedge on the board, sit back and wait on the basis level.
Sometimes it takes a little education. What do you talk to your producers about to get them in the mindset so they can make these kinds of sales or to put the hedges in place?
Well, if you're trying to sell the carry in the market where you take it out to July, you open up the possibility to see basis improvement between now and July to set that part of it. And I really think our futures have moved to a situation where you're basically selling both. You have to really pay attention to both. And, you know, you've asked us a lot of times earlier, do you think it's getting harder to market? Yes, I think it's getting harder to market because it's tighter. And so you're looking at, let's get our price set and then set our basis later. If you just refuse to do that, you've got to put up with the basis. And I think the biggest problem that I see right now that we're moving into is we're seeing some dry weather. The weather service I use is talking about dry weather through May now in the U.S. So now we're starting to talk about a possibility of hurting the U.S. crop. With everybody thinking that we don't have, you know, that we're due, that's going to make people pause. And you're going to hit a situation where you're going to have something in the $4 range for pricing corn or $3.80 for the old crop, and you're going to have to make a decision how you're going to sell that. Are you going to sell it so that you're just put in a floor, or are you going to sell it in such a way that you can have the floor and participate if it goes higher because you may not have the yield?
Well, of course, I wanted 4.25, not four. Well, and when I get to 4.25, I probably want 4.50, but this is just the nature of the game.
Yeah, it's the optimism there of the producer. It's not going to change. It's always going to continue to be that way. And so basically you just got to take advantage of the up moves in here. One strategy, you know, if you're not comfortable with the cash side, you can buy a put option. A May 980 bean puts going for about 13, 14 cents. You've got that price floor. You can hang on to the cash if you want to wait for the basis to narrow up. There's just tons and tons of different strategies you can use out there. So I think you got to use a combination, good cash strategy plus some type of paper position to back it up.
In the soybean market, exports are lagging. We know that's the case. I think the biggest problem, and maybe you can help me out with this, is that by this time of the year, the bulk of our exports are already in place, and the second part of the marketing year, exports tend to come out of South America. How much of a problem does this present for the bean market going forward?
Well, it presents a lot of problem because we've seen China have went to more favorable Brazilian beans this year. We've lost out as far as percentage. The good thing is right now is our dollar's cheap. And the Brazilian farmers, because of all that, have went back to holding beans. They're not selling their cash beans now. We have to hope, while our dollar is cheap, that we can make some good catch-up sales to China, or China pick them up. And they've been out here looking at this cheap dollar and doing stuff, and I think things are happening. So I'm looking, hopefully, that the next 3 weeks can be very big pickups for the U.S., and I think that's the real deal that we have to hope happens. We just hope those guys in Brazil said, I'm going to hold. And that we hear the word La Nina, La Nina, La Nina.
And one more thing. What's the other? He just added another one. So it's La Nina and the cheap dollar, right?
Yeah. From a psychological point, the commodity funds would probably bite on that more than anything. Us as producers know it's more it's the export side of the equation. It's kind of hard to correlate to the price of the dollar versus the price of the commodities in general. But to add to what Wayne said, it's the soybean meal market. Argentina is the world's largest exporter of soybean meal. And if those producers are hanging on, or they do experience that smaller production level, the U.S. is going to have to come in here and try to make up that deficit that Argentina has.
The crush margin went to $1.20 today, Kurt, and that's one of the big things. And we have even Argentina looking at trying to import some beans to crush at that kind of level. So, and I'll be more than happy to sell Argentina beans. I mean, you know, I think that'd be great. We just need to get them out of this country.
So you, what do you mean? So what does that mean? So the crush margin?
They're making $1.20 a bushel crushing beans.
In because, Argentina.
Well, that's the crush, what it is right now. So basically, if you can buy a bushel of beans, you have your crush cost, and anything over about 70 cents is profit. So, okay, $70.20. Last time I checked, that was more like 50 cents a bushel that they're making crushing. And that's wonderful. Everybody likes to make 50 cents a bushel. So we're seeing people, and if they can't buy the beans from their farmers, they're even looking at importing them. So we can maybe export some beans. We can get our crushers crushing like the Dickens. It's just a good thing for the farmer.
Each of you, are you more excited about the bean market or the corn market at this point? I think I'll start with you, Merrill Crowley.
I like the bean market, but it's getting a little overextended right now. That doesn't mean it can't go up. We saw our first little hitch in the forecast with the GFS coming in a little wetter, and I'm not a big fan of GFS. I'd rather rely on the Canadian, but still, this is the way a weather market works. We've been up 8 days or so, and we're due for a retracement. See where that goes, and then we can kind of get an idea where we might see the next move up come on the beans. On the corn, I like the corn, but it's longer term. The thing that bothers me about all these is the Trump issue where what's he going to do with NAFTA? What's he going to do with our trade relations with China? And it's been, people have been speculating that we're having problems selling beans to China, not only because our beans are a little bit poorer quality, but also because they're preferring to use South American beans over U.S. as a snub or a warning sign to the U.S., don't mess with our exports.
So over the long haul, since November or thereabouts, we've been in kind of a sideways base-building era for at least corn. Technically, where do you think we stand at this point, and what are your hopes for the marketplace, or maybe better put, resistance levels, support levels, those sorts of things?
Well, on corn, it's a dynamic situation. If you're a technician, if you look at the December futures contract, it's a little bit more evident. We kind of have a little bit of a head and shoulders bottom chart formation here. If you look at the upside projection, it's not huge, maybe 395 to the upside in through here. You know, you look at the corn bean ratio, corn's been the short side of the spread for the last 3 or 4 months in through here. When you look at the cattle and feed report, if it shows some good numbers, poultry numbers are good. I think corn usage is strong. I think the feed usage is underestimated. I think the ethanol usage is underestimated. Then when you look 2, 3, 4 years out on corn, this Chinese business, that's big. I mean, you talk about going to 10% blend and cleaning up their air pollution there. That's huge down the road. So I think corn's got some solid support underneath it. Whereas Merrill hinted on that beans, they've had a good run in through here. They might be a little lofty here short term.
So you think that there could be export market potential, real export market potential for corn to China?
Well, down the road. But the thing is, on corn exports, everybody's dogging them, but corn exports really don't pick up till now. If you look at the short-term news on corn exports, it should start to be positive here as we move down the road. It depends what you believe. China doesn't have enough corn to meet the demand for this ethanol usage as we move forward through here. So, you know, if they got 70% of their stocks that are bad, they're going to have to import corn somewhere. It might not be U.S. corn. It might be South American corn if they can fulfill those demands.
And I like what Kurt's talking about, only I'm kind of looking at it a little different way. You've got, with the old crop, you have this trading range of about 10 to 11 cents, which should project us up to about 60, 65. And that is the next area of severe resistance. If we can get through that, the 60, 65 area on our cash corn, our old crop corn, we have a potential to run right up to 380 without too much problem. And I really like the fact that our open interest increased as we were trading since the report. The market's up, the open interest has increased. Somebody's coming into the market, and it kind of looks to me like they're buying.
Equities have run, and they're getting to the point of people getting a little bit nervous about them. They're looking down and saying, look at the equities, look at the commodities. commodities are very cheap. I think we're going to see some spreading off of some of their profits coming back into the grains to do it. Can we take corn back to $4? God, I hope so, because that's what our farmers need out here. That's a real good thing, and we want to see it. You know, I think Merrill touched on it earlier here with the rains coming in to Brazil and the rains coming into northern Argentina that are going to delay some of the harvests. And that is also where we sort of put the safrinha corn or the second crop corn later in that may or may not get in, may or may not produce the bushels. And that can also help us along the way. Cattle on feed, every number is always higher. Everything's looking good. Chickens are looking good. Everything's looking good along the way. You know, we're looking at, and if you listen to all of the weatherman, you know, Paul, my favorite weatherman, is saying dry, 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 and look for some dry areas in Missouri, Kansas, parts of Iowa, parts of Nebraska, and like that. And if you look at the maps, you know, we looked at Agrible this morning. He comes out on Thursday morning. He sort of showed that he's been showing those same spots that Thad's been showing. So we've got two of our favorite weathermen saying we could have some weather problems. Not a disaster. No, we're not talking drought. We're not talking anything. But we could take trend line yields and just be maybe trend line or maybe less instead of 10 bushel plus. So with all of that, with Kurt's Chinese business and everything about it, we do have a little optimism for the corn market.
So he mentioned something about the equities there, and maybe I'll try to put this in a bit of a different term. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has been on a real run since the Trump election. We were at, what, 1,700 or 1,800 at that point. Now we're approaching somewhere above 26, approaching 27. Everybody's yelling, it's still time to get in. The tax, you know, the tax breaks are kicking in, and this is that point. However, I'm going to guess, actually, I think I actually really know, that it looks overbought in the technical side of the picture, and the RSIs and stochastics are showing that's the case. So here's the question. One, is that the case? And two, if that corrects, let's call it a correction because it's an up move, so it could correct to the downside. Will they roll out and will they look for a new home for that money in the commodities? So will the shorts come out of the markets in the commodities and go long is really the question.
Well, they'll probably go to Bitcoin is my best guess. But no, the fundamentals are still strong. Good bull markets stay overbought like good bear markets stay oversold. But yes, that correlation between the indexes and the commodities is super wide in through here. But the trade needs a reason to shift that money. And I think it's got to be weather-driven here in the U.S. There's nothing more bullish or get people excited when they look in their yard and see it's brown. And that gives them the reason to sort of look at the grain complex in particular. But when you look at the CRB index, I mean, crude oil has been on a tear to the upside in through here. So we've already started that process somewhat. So to get the public or the taxi cab driver coming in and buy corn, we need some catalyst to do that. And I think we're probably 6 to 8 months out from that.
Well, that's a long time out. So fundamentally, we still have a very large carryout for soybeans and a very large carryout for corn.
Yeah, that's going to keep a lid on the market, and that's going to be the challenge in through here. Unless South American completely shuts the water off, you know, that's going to be the challenge in here to get the public involved in it.
Anything else that we ought to take up in this marketplace that is of great import? So we've covered some of the fundamentals. We've talked about the South American weather. We've done the Dow and the equities and where that might trade. Export trade into China at this point. We haven't discussed a lot about NAFTA. It's still one of those wild cards. What would you call it? The black swan?
That'd be a black swan. I don't think there's any way it can be anything but a black swan because staying the same, it's just a goose floating down through there. But if it falls apart, it's a black swan.
Hey, speaking on that, did anybody, and the trade didn't make any note of this at all, I won't call it a trade war, but the trade moves that the president, the administration made with China this week didn't seem to impact the commodity markets at all. I was surprised by that.
Well, It depends what area you're talking about. It seems like when you talk world trade, it might be auto parts, but there's a lot to it. When you talk about world trade, you're even talking about negotiating the ability to file a complaint and so forth. China, if they're going to buy, they're going to buy. I mean, when you look at world trade and agriculture and food, it's on a need basis. It's not currency fluctuation or negotiation. If they need it, they're going to buy it. And also transportation costs. So there's several moving parts in through here, but hopefully Trump will quit tweeting and cooperate with some of these countries.
Well, I don't think he will. I think he's got some issues that he wants to try to follow through from his election. It's just how he manages to go about it. I do agree wholeheartedly with Kurt. They're going to buy food when they need it. And where's the cheapest place to buy it? When you're talking Canada and Mexico, it's us. It takes a lot of money to pull that out of South America, and it's extra cost that they don't need to incur. And I think if we go and say no to NAFTA, I do think the markets are going to have a hammer time go down lower. And I think you buy that low with impunity. I think it's very similar to the announcement of pick and roll back in 83. Not that we're going to have a drought after it's announced, but that all that, you know, you've got that first initial fear, and that comes through as sales. But then people realize they're going to eat and they're going to buy.
Let's get a final word from each of you. I think I'll start with you, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
You know, we've had a nice run up in the beans for here right now. If you haven't sold any $10 cash beans for fall, I think it's time to put 5 or 10% on. I think we've got some things we talked about here that long run might work a little bit, but I think it's also going to be very preferential to have something on the books, especially when you go talk to your banker.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
There's some optimism there, but I don't want to be endorsing hanging on the cash and waiting for a big move. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. What we're incorporating is some risk management policies here where you can, if this corn gets to $4, you can put some price floors in and still have your cash grain to sell. Same thing on the beans, you know, $10 price floors, doable to make it through the next marketing year.
And Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions.
Well, like I said, I think we're going to be in a situation where we really need to lock in some prices, but we're going to want to be flexible for things if they happen to move up. And what comes to mind to me is 2000, when our corn and beans ran up into May 5th of that year, and that was due to because it was the driest, like the third or fourth or fifth driest on the Palmer Index. We went into May, we got a rain, and corn dropped 30% and beans dropped 25% from that high. Didn't really look back at all, clear down into August. If you saw that same from $4 corn, it'd be $2.80 corn. If you saw the same from $11 beans, it would take you down to $8 beans. So you've got to have a plan that's going to leave you flexible, set you some prices that'll keep you farming, and allow you to take advantage of the market if it goes higher.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our thanks this week to our panelists, including Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois, from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel, and at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, Wayne Nelson. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.